Welcome to the Walk With Me podcast. I'm Pastor Stephen Bond from the Vine Church in Chapel Hill, Tennessee, and I am so excited that you are walking with me. What that means is we are walking together through God's Word, just about three chapters a day, and you're going to get the most out of this if you read these chapters independently and then listen to the podcast, but they're going to be short, 10 to 15 minutes each day, so that you can listen to at the start or the finish of each day, and I believe that it'll bless you as it's blessed. Me.
I'm stepping out on your word.
Today's passage is from Psalm 135, 136, and 137. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Give praise, O servants of the Lord, who stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to His name, for it is pleasant. They can also be translated as, sing to His name, for He is beautiful. For the Lord has chosen Jacob for himself, Israel as his own possession. For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. He it is who makes the cloud rise at the end of the earth, who makes lightnings for the rain, and brings forth the wind from his storehouses. You know, it's funny. I was actually listening to a pastor speak a couple of weeks ago, and he quoted this scripture, and I thought it was pretty funny because somebody was questioning something that the Lord was doing to him. He was questioning it and saying, show me in scripture where, you know, God ever does this. You know, how can we be sure that this is God? You know, because where is it that God's ever done this before? And the pastor, he was retelling the story, and he said, Psalm 135, verse 6, whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and on earth, and in the seas and all the deeps. And I just thought that was interesting. You wouldn't really quote this as a doctrinal verse, I don't believe. Yet at the same time, it is so important to remember that God does exist outside of our doctrine. He exists outside of our belief of what He could do, what He has done, what He should do. He's God. He can do whatever He wants to do. Your theology is a bit broken if you think you've got it figured out what God is and isn't capable of, because He very much can do anything that He wants to. If He wants to, make another person to walk on the bottom of the ocean, then he'll pretty well do that if he wants to. If he wants to, make a person to be able to speak in another language, and so for the opportunity to minister to them, if I were to fly to, Brazil, and when I land, I'm able to simultaneously be fluent in their language, I believe God can do that. You know, if God wants, to do anything, he's able to do it. Let's not study our Bible to figure out what God can't do anymore. Let's study our Bibles to understand how much He can do and what He's truly capable of, and that there are no limitations. And so I thought that was pretty funny, just that passage. But in that way, understanding it in that way, it is really cool. Whatever the Lord pleases, He does. And so there's such an invitation to praise here. You know, the first four verses, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And so, we have to understand as we're thinking of this, probably would have been a corporate song, something they would have sung together, more than a personal song, something they would have, instructed the people in. This was such a big deal to Israel. I've shared about it a lot. We, of course, we're 135 Psalms in, so I know I've shared about it more than a few times. But praise and just genuinely singing, using our voices to make melody to God, using our hands to play instruments for the Lord. These things are so optional in our culture, and even so debatable, you know. I just want to point out that it wasn't that way at all to Israel. It was a very big deal that we were made to worship. And when they would get together, there was a lot of times, a lot of psalms that started off the same way. You know, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Worship the Lord. Worship Him in gladness. Clap your hands together. Lift up a shout of joy. You know, play your lyre. You know, beat on the drum. You know, it was so understood that that's what we came here to do. And let's not do anything less than that because He's worthy of it. You know, you may have been in worship settings and the worship leader says, you know, lift your hands. And you're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay. I'm not one of you overly emotional, charismatics. I'll keep my coffee in my hands and I'll hum along to the songs. Well, you're not giving God a worship, to be honest with you. You showed up. Good for you. Maybe the word will bless you and draw you into a deeper reliance upon Him so that next time you'll give Him the praise that He's due. I mean, realistically, I'm being serious. The people, when we get together, of course, in gentleness and meekness, we're not going to beat it over people's heads. You know, it's not a religious thing. It's not that your hands must be lifted. It's not that your voice must be loud, that you would really worship God. I've had some incredible, beautiful moments with God and some quiet worship and some seated worship, you know. But my heart as a believer, if you're a believer, if you believe in Jesus, when you good, you need to have time in your life where you're going to give God your worship. You're going to give Him your praise. You're going to give Him your best, you know. And, you know, it's an act of love to Him. You know, imagine if you were to take your spouse out on a date, you should hopefully, if this date's going to be worth anything, the intention of the date is that I'm going to give you my attention. I am going to give you my attention. In this day and age, we're so addicted to our phones and everything. Sometimes you look over at the table next to you and you'll see two people sitting at a table and each of them are on their phone. They're really not giving each other any attention or any adoration that's worth anything. And I think the church has gotten a little bit like that too, whether it be by a phone or whether it be just not coming in with the mindset of, I'm here to worship. I'm not here to worship if I catch a goosebump in the second song. I'm not here to worship if they play some kind of song that I know and love. I'm here to worship because God has redeemed me and saved my life and pulled me up out of the pit. He sent His Son Jesus to die and forgive me of my sins. I've been born again. That's why I'm here to worship. I don't care if I know this song. I don't care if I like this song. I don't care if the person left to me or the right of me. If I bump their coffee accidentally when I'm getting my praise on and I start to dance around before the Lord. You know, I'm just being honest with you. This needs to be the mindset of the believer, not the unbeliever. Okay, and you know, it's a demonstration of spiritual maturity, and we definitely have grace for those that are maturing in the faith. So we're not ugly to anyone, or we're not judging people because their worship may not be manifested just yet. Maybe they're just taking it all in. When I first started walking with the Lord, I was that guy. I remember being in a worship setting with my coffee in my hand, and I just remember, even though I was there and I wasn't really getting all, you know, I didn't really sing real loud or anything. And I was just kind of holding my coffee. I remember feeling the presence of God surrounding me. I didn't know what to do with it just yet, but I remember it blessed me. Okay. And so we want to give grace to people. It's not a judgmental thing. It's a personal thing. But if you listener today, if you're someone who has looked and seen the glory of the Lord, then yes, you should be a person who comes in and closes their eyes and blesses the Lord and praises the Lord. He deserves your attention. You shouldn't even know what anyone else has got going on to your left or to your right, you know. And so these sort of worship leaders were very aggressive in making sure that God's people worshiped him. You know, so you think today, well, these charismatics, you know, well, lift your hands. I'll tell you what, I'm not going to lift my hands, or, you know, kneel. I'm not going to kneel. You know, man, when David stood up to lead worship, he started telling the angels to worship. He said, bless the Lord, all you mighty angels. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, let all that I am praise the Lord. I'm going to worship the Lord with gladness. And I'm saying that all of you should do the same. You know, lift up your hands, people. God is worthy of your adoration. You know, and the reason why is because it blesses God when we worship him. And really, it blesses us. There's such a supernatural power in praise. And I know we've touched on it before, but I could touch on it every day and wouldn't do it just explanation. But there is a supernatural power in praise. And spiritually, you'll feel resistance to do the things that you're probably in the greatest need of. Okay, you'll feel a resistance in the natural and in the spiritual to do the things that you're probably needing the most. You know, you could liken it to, you know, what do you want to eat for dinner tonight? Well, if I ate grilled chicken and vegetables, I'd probably feel fantastic. But I really like the idea of New York style pizza and a Reese's. Well, I understand that you're not going to feel so great after that. Spiritually, worship is so powerful, but you have to become a person that tells your soul, this is what we're doing, soul. This is what's good for you, and this is what God has commanded of us. And it's no longer about if I feel like it, will I? And then something will shift. And I think I was sharing with you guys a few days ago, if it may have been longer than that, or maybe it wasn't at all. I don't know. I speak it a lot of different times, and I can't remember where I was at when I said certain things, but I just had a time earlier this week where I was just dealing with anxiety. It was just my mind had gone adrift, you know, and you know, one of my favorite promises of scripture, Isaiah 26:3, says, he will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on him because he trusts in the Lord. Well, when my mind is stayed on God, there is a release of peace. And that tells me also that if I feel like a burden or anxiety or worry, it is 100% because my mind has gotten off of Jesus. It's gone adrift, and it's found its way to something else. Worship is what I have found to be the fastest way. I mean, it is like ripping a Band-Aid off. It is so quick to wrap my mind back around him again. Not to say that it's superior to prayer, not to say that it's superior to getting into the Word. These things are all so powerful, and they all put my mind back on him again. But there is something about making a melody. There is something about when you start to sing, where I think about the story in 2 Chronicles where it says, this battle is not yours, right? You're not going to fight in this battle, okay? Jehoshaphat, Israel, this isn't your battle. This is my battle. What are we going to do? You're going to sing. What? Why are we going to sing? Because that's what I want you to do. I'm going to fight. You're going to sing. Right? Well, why were they commissioned to sing? Well, because singing expels fear, because fear is a result of bad thinking. Fear is a result of anxiety. It's a bad thought pattern. Fear can't exist when my mind is on Jesus. Fear exists only when my mind is off of Jesus. Well, we're going to put you guys up in the front. We're going to go to battle, but you're not going to fight. Well, what are we going to do if we're not going to fight? We're shaking in our armor. You're going to sing. You know, I'm just preaching today, aren't I? I haven't gone anywhere. Whoops. Anyways, that's what we're commissioned to do. Bless the Lord. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Praise God. And so it goes through and it says, your name, O Lord, endures forever. The idols of the nations are silver and gold, the work of human hands. Though they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but do not see. And those who make them become like them, and so do all who trust in them. We've talked about that in a previous psalm. That's been mentioned also. Is that if I don't worship God, then I start worshiping something else. And if I'm worshiping something else, then I'll become like the thing that I worship. Okay, and that can mean lifeless and useless. But if I'm worshiping God, it can mean that I can become love, and I can become joy, and I become hope. He goes through commanding house of Israel, bless the Lord. House of Aaron, bless the Lord. House of Levi, bless the Lord. You who fear the Lord, bless the Lord. Right? Praise the Lord. Those are exclamation marks in there. We don't read them like that, do we? Isn't that funny? Isn't that funny? But those are exclamation marks in there. If we're going to read this authentically, it should say, O house of Israel, bless the Lord. O house of Aaron, bless the Lord. I mean, this is a powerful commissions. And so they, it wasn't a whispering time. You know, when they were together, it was a commission. Man, he is worthy. Bless him. And so 136 is a powerful psalm. It's interesting, this 136 is, because there's a constant theme, and the theme is his steadfast love endures forever. His steadfast love endures forever. Hey, remember that, beloved. His steadfast love endures forever. Okay, meaning steadfast means like stayed. Are fixed, immovable. Okay, so his immovable love endures. Endures is another way of like saying it's long suffering or it's patient. So his immovable love is patient forever. His immovable love is able to withstand forever. And so this is just understanding of how mighty and powerful God's love is. And this is, I actually wrote a song one time that was basically a playoff of 136, because I feel like in its original capacity, it would have been really neat, because I feel like, and other scholars feel the same way, that the priest or whoever was leading the congregation in worship would have said, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And then the assembly would have repeated back, for his steadfast love endures forever, you know. And so, you know, give thanks to the God of gods, for his love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his love endures forever. You know, and so just would have been a really neat, just holy moment of just declaring God's greatness. And then the church singing back, you know, the reason why he's so great and the reason why he did everything that he did, how he struck down the firstborn of Egypt, how he struck down great kings, you know, is that his love endures forever, that his love was patient with us, that his love was fixated on us, and therefore he has done great and mighty things. And so it's just a fantastic psalm. 137 says, by the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows there, we hung up our lyres. Isn't that interesting? A lyre was a stringed instrument, musical instrument. We hung them up, for there our captors required of us songs, and our tormentors mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. Okay, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you. If I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy, remember, O Lord, against the Edomites, the day of Jerusalem, how they said, lay it bare, down to its foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed. Blessed shall he be who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks. Powerful imagery, and I don't believe it was symbolic. I believe it was literal, but it's powerful just the way it's to even fathom what life would be like to be facing of enemies. They were taking of babies and infants, children, and to be, you know, murdering them. And it's just, this is some of the realities that they faced, Israel faced as a country against some of the wicked other lands. And so at this time, basically what was happening is they were telling them, hey, you basically as slaves, you know, sing one of these songs. And they're basically saying, we're not going to do it. Like there is no way that I can praise you. Let my hand forget how to even do it. If it's not in the right way, if it's not truly for your glory and for your praise, you know. And of course, in the context of this, it was so unique, because they were basically, like I said, they were held captive, and they were saying, we can't do this. This, you know, we don't ever want to praise you again until we're standing back in Jerusalem, until we're back at Zion, you know. And so that's got geographical connotation to it. But what it's essentially saying is, until I'm back in the house of the Lord, until I'm standing back on the Lord's land, until it's a time and a place where this worship is not robotic, then I don't want to again do it. I want to go back to where the Lord is, and there I will sing him a song. There I will play him a song. And so I think one thing just keeping in theme with what we've been talking about is just again this understanding of my worship is for the Lord. And let my hand forget how to do it. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth.
if it's not me giving him the exaltation that he deserves in his house, if it's not me worshiping him with gladness in my heart. And, you know, their desire was, Lord, get us back to your land where we can offer up these songs of praise for you again. And so, again, their greatest desire reminds me of the Lord's Prayer, that your kingdom would come, that your will be done. In the heart of the believer should be a desire to be in Zion, and a desire to be with the Lord where he is, more than there is a desire to do anything or to be anywhere else.